From the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. Thank you for tuning in. The Coalition for Education Equity is preparing to sue the state over what it says is inadequate funding for public schools in Alaska. The group decided to sue after Governor Mike Dunleavy vetoed more than $50 million this month from the state's per-pupil education funding formula. Executive Director Caroline Storm says the nonprofit is convening multiple districts around the state as plaintiffs and plans to file the suit within the next few months.
There's a certain amount of confidence that this line item veto will be overridden in January. However, that's too late, and it's still not enough.
Education funding was a top priority for Alaska lawmakers this session, who passed a $700 increase to the state formula known as the base student allocation. After lawmakers overrode Dunleavy's veto of the bill, Dunleavy used his line item veto last week to reduce that to $500 per student. School leaders and lawmakers denounced that veto, but are unlikely to have a chance to override it until the legislature reconvenes in January, when schools are halfway through the year. Storm says the lawsuit will draw from U.S. District Court Judge Sharon Gleason's 2012 ruling in the Moore case, filed by the same group. That ruling determined that the state funding for school districts wasn't adequate, and Storm hopes this lawsuit will have a similar result.
Adequacy is, what does it take to give a child the opportunity, a reasonable opportunity, to learn the content of the standards that has been set by the state?
Storm declined to name which districts will file as plaintiffs, but said several districts support the suit because they're unsure how they can continue without an increase in state funding. The U.S. Department of Agriculture announced plans to rescind the roadless rule yesterday, aligning with President Donald Trump's executive order earlier this year to end a ban on constructing roads in undeveloped areas of the Tongass National Forest to stimulate more logging in the region. The rule has flip-flopped multiple times since it was established to protect undeveloped lands in 2001. It was rolled back during Trump's first term before being reinstated by former President Joe Biden. Mike Jones is the tribal president for the organized village of Kasan on Prince of Wales Island, an area of the Tongass that has been logged heavily.
It's the largest temperate rainforest in the world, and it's the, you know, considered by many, it's the northern lung of the planet.
Jones says that new roads and additional logging would degrade the landscape and harm salmon streams that people rely on. Rolling back the roadless rule in Alaska hasn't been popular in the past. When the U.S. Forest Service considered exempting the state from the federal roadless rule back in 2019, more than 100,000 people submitted public comments, and most were opposed to opening up the Tongass for new roads. U.S. Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan both welcomed the rollback. In a statement today, Murkowski said, quote, "Repeal will not lead to environmental harm, but it will help open needed opportunities for renewable energy, forestry, mining, tourism, and more in areas that are almost completely under federal control," end quote. Kate Glover is an attorney at Earth Justice, an environmental law firm that has challenged past rescissions of the roadless rule on behalf of tribes, conservation nonprofits, and tourism and fishing groups.
So it's disappointing to see the administration doing something that's so clearly contrary to what the public is asking for and is contrary to the public interest.
More than 9.2 million acres of the Tongass are inventoried as roadless areas under the rule. About 300,000 acres are considered suitable for logging, according to the U.S. Forest Service latest management plan for the Tongass. And a new federal report says the group overseeing the 800-mile Trans-Alaska pipeline system needs to update its operations. That includes at the Valdez Marine Terminal, where Northrop oil is loaded onto ocean barges. Alonia Nyden with the Alaska Desk reports.
The multi-agency group called the Joint Pipeline Office was created after the Exxon Valdez oil spill more than three decades ago. But it's since scaled back its safety oversight of the Trans-Alaska pipeline system. That's according to a report that the Government Accountability Office, a congressional watchdog agency, released last week. Brooke Taylor is a spokeswoman for the Prince William Sound Regional Citizens Advisory Council. It is one of the federally mandated oversight groups that advises on safety at the Valdez terminal.
We know at this time nationally there is a lot of interest in unleashing America's energy potential, and we want to ensure that development continues as safely as possible in our state so that the oil keeps flowing at the same time that we're protecting our communities, our economies, and our environment.
The Advisory Council commissioned a report that found wide-ranging issues at the terminal 3 years ago, which led to a federal audit. The Joint Pipeline Office includes the U.S. Bureau of Land Management, Alaska Department of Natural Resources, and other state and federal agencies. The new federal report says the agencies comprising the office have been collaborating on spill drills and inspections. However, it also points out that the office has reduced some of its oversight activities, such as field inspections. It also closed its physical office about two decades ago and has not produced public reports in nearly the same amount of time. Taylor says that is a significant concern.
When those types of communications cease, that's less transparency, less access to information that the public has.
The agencies and what they do within the joint office have also changed in the past three decades. The report says that a lack of clarity around the roles and responsibilities for each agency can lead to gaps in oversight, especially at the Valdez Marine Terminal. In fact, when in 2023 a fire started at a terminal near one of the tanks during cleaning, the office acknowledged that no single agency was responsible for oversight of such incidents. Taylor says an independent review would have helped examine what caused the fire and what should be done to prevent incidents like this.
There's still questions we have around that incident, and without a regulatory body, it's limited in what we can really learn from it.
The federal report suggests that the Joint Pipeline Office document its shared goals, clarify responsibilities for each participating agency, and identify any potential gaps in safety oversight. Taylor says the Citizen Council was encouraged to see those recommendations, but felt that the report fell short of characterizing the scale of issues with monitoring the pipeline system.
There have been, on multiple levels for many years now, reductions in staffing and budget and resources that are potentially leading to gaps in oversight at this point.
She says the council hopes to continue working with government officials, regulatory agencies, and industry representatives to examine the gaps in oversight and address those concerns. A spokeswoman for Alyeska Pipeline, which operates the pipeline and terminal, said in an email that the company appreciates the report and is committed to working with regulators to ensure the safety of workers and operations. In Anchorage, I'm Alona Naiden.
And for this week's episode of Tongass Voices, perspectives from the homelands of the Occoquan and beyond. A Juneau bookstore turns 50 this year. And earlier this month, it was voted one of the nation's top 10 best independent bookstores by USA Today. Olga Sophia Liho-Sarans took over Hearthside Books in 2022, but she got into the book business as a librarian in Juneau nearly two decades ago after arriving from northern Spain.
I love Waiting for the Weather, Eric Forer's memoir. It just has so much information about Alaska without being ponderous. Actually, it's pretty funny. So it's a great way to just have a very good look at Alaska without thinking that you're studying on it. My name is long. It's Olga Sofia Liho-Sarans, and I am the owner of Hearthside Books and Toys. I was approached about buying Hearthside Books around 3 years ago, about this time of the year, by somebody else who thought that I could be a good match, because Hearthside had been for sale for a while, and, well, nobody in this town wanted it to close. I'm not sure why people thought about me. I have my guesses. I'm a book person. I've been always very active in the community. Since I arrived to Juneau in 2007, I got my master's in library science. I already had two degrees in similar subjects. And then I became a public librarian, and then I became a librarian for the Legislative Affairs Agency. So between that and the fact that I'm always around books, I guess it was not very strange that somebody would have thought about me. What brought me to Juneau in the first place was love. My then love interest invited me for a holiday in 2006, and that was it. He was definitely a love interest, but, you know, just closed the deal. So, the big surprise was bestsellers and having to be on top of those changes almost daily. So it makes it a little bit terrifying because you're always having to be thinking about what's coming next and what's going to be people's next interest. But on the other hand, it's also exhilarating and a lot of fun. Will that set of books that were really, really hot 2 weeks ago arrive in time for being still of interest when they get here? Hearthside is turning 50 on September 19th. It was opened in September 19th, 1975. So I wasn't thinking about what that would mean when I initially bought the store, but it has become more and more obvious that people in Juneau consider Hearthside a legacy. When you have three generations of the same family coming to you and saying, you know, my mom used to bring me to Hearthside as a kid, and now I'm bringing my own kids here too, it kind of makes you realize how important as an independent bookstore is still in a community like Juneau.
That was Hearthside Books owner Olga Sofia Lijo-Saranz. Hearthside will celebrate its 50th anniversary in September. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 60 degrees and overcast. There's a 20% chance of rain this afternoon, but it looks like tonight will be rainy after 10 p.m. Tomorrow looks rainy as well, with a 100% chance of rain, and that might taper off over the day on Thursday. You're listening to KTOO.